Interesting fast blast, Philip, that I have this message from Gerald in Tacoma, Washington. He says, my wife was almost the victim of Ted Bundy in about 67 to 68 at a university in Tacoma. She fit his victim profile. She was late for class when he approached her on crutches and fell down near her. So there's that M.O. She was late for class, so she ignored him, and she's still alive. That saved her life, the fact that she kept going.
Well, and it proves exactly what we were talking about a minute ago, a couple of minutes ago, about how motivated, how driven, how cunning they are. And I want to tell you something, George. This is not isolated. I'm using him as an example, a good example of the degree to which they go to get their victim. And unfortunately, all too often, what's happening now is they're doing these types of things and they're getting away with it. Are talking about it just the way the woman listening out there right now, we're educating them. We're telling them what they need to know. We're telling them that in today's society, you cannot trust people unless you know who they are. You don't take what you see for face value. You know, it's interesting. I asked Ramirez, the Night Stalker, how, towards the end of my interview with him, I asked him Richard, you're being an expert in this. How could you give me advice on something I can put in my book about how women can protect themselves from people like you? That was the question I asked, and you want to know what his answer was?
I'd love to know what his answer
was. His answer was, you can't. His answer was this. If somebody like me gets you in their sights, we hone in on you like a lion does, a hungry lion does to prey. And we're going to go for you. And
so are you saying it's all over for you the minute one of these sickles?
No, because I didn't leave it at that. I said, well, let's say you were talking to your sister. He was very close to his sister. What would you tell her? How could she better protect herself, Richard? And then he said this. He said, by being aware, by looking left and looking right and knowing who's behind you, not walking around the world like you have blinders on, seeing the truth, seeing what's going on, taking your eyes from the ground and lifting them up and being aware of your environment. And if you see somebody suspicious, don't be afraid to react. He said, if you're walking into your door, if you walk into your home, you're going to the door and you see somebody 10 feet behind you and you get a bad feeling, go with that feeling. Don't go to the door. Walk back in the street. Go to the center of the street and start walking towards an avenue. And it's that gut feeling. It's that gut reaction that we have to learn to trust again. And women, and I'm saying women because for the most part, their victims are female, although there are male victims also, but the majority of serial killers go after females.
Sure, but Dahmer went after male victims.
Exactly,
right? Yeah.
And John Wayne Gacy, and also Gacy had a whole act. You know, he's the nice guy, friendly guy. Come on back to my place, have a beer. I got to smoke a joint, and what he did, he slipped them a Mickey. He put a drug in their drink. He'd get them unconscious, and in furtherance of what we were talking about before in terms of preparation, he had a rack all set up, the old-fashioned rack where you put the head and the hands were put
there. Yeah, and lock you in there.
Well, he had that, one of those in his bedroom that he was into construction. He built it, and he'd get them in that position, and once they were in that position, he proceeded to mutilate them from behind. I don't want to go into any more detail.
No,
suffice
please.
It to say the degree of the sadism is mind-boggling, yet an hour or two or 3 hours prior to him gleefully doing such a heinous, terrible, disgusting thing, he had this big smile on his face. You know, he had pictures of himself as a clown on the wall. Oh, yeah, look, I'm a clown. That was such and such a day. And here I am with Rosalind Carter. I'm an assemblyman, and do this and I do that. And, you know, you think, yeah, gee, that, what a hell of a nice, jovial guy, when what he really was a monster.
Could he be a friend to someone, let's say you, I mean a dear friend, where, and again, you'd realize what was going on, but let's assume you didn't. And then at the same time, capture other people?
I tell you, George, you're a funny guy, man. Me? No, not me. I'm a cynical. I've been around the block, George. I'm from Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. I know.
You'd catch them all.
I've got the eye, man. I know. But, yes, I mean, until you're made cognizant, until you're made aware, until you listen to somebody like me, you really don't know. And why should you know? Why should the average Joe or Jane pay attention to what we're talking about? I'll tell you why. Because it's those people that become the victims. In many cases in the Night Stalker instance, I shouldn't say many, in the 19 attacks, in four of the homes he entered, he walked right in the front door. Why? The people that lived in those homes, all of them said, I don't want to feel like I live in a cage. I don't want to feel that I can't trust people, the world I live in. I don't want to live like that. And them believing that and saying that and thinking that way is exactly why they became victims. Had their front door been locked, had they taken that extra precaution, perhaps the monster that the Night Stalker was would not have been able to walk into their homes with breathing fire and a knife in his hand and a gun in his hand. A knife in one hand and his you-know-what in the other hand.